Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Melissa Hammer. An overall bearish crop report from USDA has acreage down across the board. Bauer Trading account executive Ben Cash says the market is having a pretty strong reaction to the corn numbers.
Definitely a bearish report here for corn. We've seen the corn quarterly stocks number on the high end of expectations, within the range, but at the very high end. And then corn actually acreage number was above the high end of expectations. So, it definitely is a bearish report here today for corn. You look at the weather forecast too, that leans bearish. So overall here, seeing a lot of more selling pressure in the corn market. You know, some of these bulls obviously did not get what they wanted today, and we're seeing them throw in the towels, as well as managed fund shorts continuing to add to their position here. So a pretty aggressive sell-off here for corn.
Soybeans looking bearish as well.
Was a little bit supportive. I mean, the quarterly stocks number definitely was bearish. I mean, we're sitting at almost a billion bushels of soybeans versus 800 million last year at this time. So that number does lean a little bit negative. I mean, we were within the range there, but at the high end. But the acreage number definitely came in under expectations from the average estimate. So that was 86.1. That was down from the March intentions of 86.5. So 400,000 acres lower than expected there.
Ever Ag Marketing President of the Producer Division, Mike North, was surprised with the corn acreage and stocks from today's reports.
We grew the acreage number by 1.47 million acres, and that now really starts to take the wind out of the sails of the bulls as we, you know, talk about some of the recent flooding in Iowa, as we look at the balance sheet both domestically and globally. This was a big one. So that was the ultimate surprise. They also raised the stocks numbers to levels that were a little greater than expected as well. So about 120 million over, which will be reflected in the July WASDE report that comes out in a couple of weeks. Ultimately, that's going to raise stocks to use and really threatens this market ability to maintain pricing above $4.
And the markets are continuing to react.
But there's a tug of war taking place between the broad weakness in corn and the aspirations for strength in soybeans. So as you look at the scenario, we'll see who wins today. There's always a lot of volatility in this report, and you know, corn has a big bear story to tell, while soybeans are going to try to, you know, also promote the bullish case for their situation given today's numbers as well. So going to be an interesting one to see which one wins that tug of war today.
The U.S. Midwest and Northern Plains will receive timely rains over the next 2 weeks, with some areas of the Midwest and Northern Plains remaining wetter than usual. World Weather Incorporated says the Northern Plains will see shower and thunderstorm activity occurring most days through next Thursday. Temperatures will be on the cool side, with a chance of mid and upper 30s near the Canadian border early Saturday morning. High temperatures will be mostly in the 60s, with a few 70s through early next week.
According to Grand Forks National Weather Service meteorologist Tom Graffenauer, parts of the Grand Forks area saw between 1 and 2 inches of rain from the recent weather.
Over the last day or so, most areas around the region received generally an inch to 2 inches of rainfall. There are some pockets of higher amounts, as we see when we have thunderstorms and convection and activity of that nature, but most areas probably did receive between, you know, an inch or 2 inches, some areas slightly less, some, you know, a little bit more.
We could see some scattered thunderstorms heading into next week.
Looking into the weekend and early next week, we do anticipate scattered thunderstorms, showers and thunderstorms, Friday evening into Saturday morning. And then probably a lull in activity with another period of showers and thunderstorms later Sunday and into Monday.
Areas around Sioux Falls, South Dakota have seen their share of rain over the past week. Sioux Falls National Weather Service hydrologist Andrew Kalin says that flooding conditions from earlier in the week may persist with more rain today.
Yeah, it's been obviously a very busy stretch of time period over the last week. Last weekend, we had a significant rainfall event that produced A widespread 6 to 10 inches locally, you know, in excess of 10 inches in some areas across southeast South Dakota, northwest Iowa, and southwest Minnesota, and that resulted in significant flooding.
Kalen expects conditions to improve over the weekend and into next week.
We do have some lower precipitation chances today, mainly into southwest Minnesota and northwest Iowa, and then those chances get better as you move even further east. So at this time, it looks like any rainfall should hopefully remain east of the areas that were heavily impacted, or at least those rainfall amounts shouldn't result in any significant renewed flooding issues, just the ongoing flooding issues. And then, thankfully, we do dry out, it looks like, into the weekend with pretty minimal precipitation chances during that time period. And then we'll keep our eyes on next week for any new rain chances after that.
Minor to moderate flooding is occurring along portions of the Middle Mississippi and Lower Missouri rivers. World Weather Incorporated says additional increases are expected during the next week, with locations along the Mississippi River near southeastern Iowa likely to see major flooding early next week.
USDA is investing $12 million to support the dairy industry. The Dairy Business Innovation Initiative grants can be used to expand processing capacity, provide technical assistance to dairy farmers, and make on-farm improvements. Since 2019, this program has invested over $64 million for over 600 projects in 40 states. Go to the Red River Farm Network's website, rrfn.com, to sign up for the weekly FarmNet News newsletter. You can also download this broadcast and follow us on Facebook and X. It's all at rrfn.com. Reporting agriculture's business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Farmers Union Climate and Working Lands Program Director Ariel Kagan presented at this year's Midwest Farm Energy Conference on the importance of decarbonization and the impact it can have at the farm level.
What we're talking about is decarbonizing in agriculture, and what's happening at West Rock here with all the research around green ammonia and e-tractors and all these different things is really important, because there's this global conversation happening in the public sector and also in the private sector about how do we reduce greenhouse gas emissions across supply chains. And in agriculture, a lot of that does come from the farm. So things like applying fertilizer has a significant amount of greenhouse gas emissions associated with it. And companies, major companies like PepsiCo and Walmart, are really concerned about those emissions for their leadership, for their shareholders, and for their sort of responsibility in the world.
There are benefits to decarbonization beyond helping the environment.
And so things like green ammonia can reduce those emissions and offer opportunities for local production of fertilizer, which is also really important because it's a very volatile farm input in terms of price. We don't want to be dependent on foreign countries for those key inputs. So we were just talking about all the different drivers of decarbonization and how even beyond those greenhouse gas emissions reductions, there's a lot of co-benefits that come along with decarbonizing.
A group of researchers at the University of Minnesota have been experimenting with adding red seaweed to dairy cattle diets to help reduce methane emissions. Professor of Animal Science Brad Hines says results have been seen almost immediately.
Basically, we found that we could reduce the methane emissions by 20 to 40% in lactating dairy cows across a six-month time period. And we didn't find any difference in production or body weights or a lot of other different parameters. So it was kind of neat that we could actually reduce methane emissions just by feeding a little bit of seaweed, maybe an ounce per cow per day. Just added to their ration, we actually put it in our corn grain ration, and the cows ate it.
According to Hines, the research is already being implemented into some carbon reduction programs.
Based on our research, Organic Valley is going to implement it in some of their carbon insetting programs, so they'll be able to pay farmers for feeding the seaweed to help reduce overall greenhouse gas emissions of dairy operations.
NDSU Extension entomologist Janet Knodel says this year has been good to farmers as far as insects and disease.
Good luck out with the insects so far this year. With the cool, wet weather, it's definitely slowed down insect development and getting up to populations building, so we have economic numbers of insects out there that are worthy of spraying. So it's overall, it's been a good year for farmers, and we haven't really had any significant insect reports for the most part. But we are starting to see some things that you should be scouting for.
Knodel says the insects are mostly being seen in small amounts, so an insecticide may not be needed.
We have cereal aphids in wheat. They arrive, they migrate up into North Dakota, and we're seeing them about 25% of the wheat and barley fields that the IPM scouts are surveying. However, the populations are very low and sub-economic right now, you know, one aphid per sam on average. Also, wheat-stem sawfly has emerged, but again, we're just picking up a few here and there. We're just starting to see some soybean aphids. We've had an average of only one aphid per plant and only an incidence of 2 to 16% of the plants infested.
Betaseed Regional Sales Manager Lynn Dusick is pleased with how the beet crop is advancing.
You know, overall, stand establishment was okay. This spring, we had dealt with some various conditions, some wind, some excessive moisture in the Southern Valley. But by and large, overall, beet stands look fairly good. We're off to a good start. Herbicide applications are being made as timely as possible. Growers are finishing up with that. And starting to think about here now, as the rows begin to close going into the month of July, starting to think about starting their fungicide applications for Cercospora leaf spot. So,
this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ariana Schumacher. Ariana, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
Well, this past week, we saw extreme flooding across parts of South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. So I went out to a couple of different farms across South Dakota to take a look at some of the flooding that they're seeing on those crop fields and what that looks like on a lot of these fields and a lot of the pasture ground in the southeast corner of South Dakota. We went out to a farm near Centerville, South Dakota, that had 225 acres of soybeans that were just completely underwater. You could see irrigation pipes just the tops of them while there's water all the way under them, equipment out in the fields that was just completely flooded. More towards the north of Salem, we saw a little less flooding, but still some pretty extreme flooding piling up in some of those fields, washing out some of those roadways and culverts, and just causing a lot of damage to these crop fields.
Any sense of how big an area this is?
This really affected just a lot of areas in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa. I don't know the specifics on exactly how far it covered, but it definitely covered a lot of our southeastern portion of the state.
And it's definitely going to take quite some time to if it can be even corrected here.
Yeah, up in the Salem area, we saw some lighter flooding, so farmers were hoping that maybe 10 days to 2 weeks would be how long it would take for them to maybe start getting out into the field, assessing the damage, and maybe even working on getting up to date with some of that crop management that they have in those fields. Farther south towards Centerville, though, they're not going to be able to get out into those fields for quite some time. They're hoping to be able to plant some cover crops on those fields towards the end of summer, but it's definitely going to take a while for that water level to go down.
Well, Ariana, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Taking a look at futures numbers in reaction to today's USDA crop report. September Minneapolis wheat down 7.5 cents, 6.10.5. September wheat Chicago 7.5 cents lower, 5.72 even. September corn down 14.5 cents, 4.08 even. August soybeans 4.5 cents lower, 11.31¾. November canola out of Winnipeg 2.230 per metric ton higher at 6.2340 Canadian. August live cattle down $1.27 to $185.17. August feeders down $1.25. August lean hogs up $1.17. Have a great weekend out there. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.